I just wanted to read a chapter from Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 10, and then maybe share some thoughts at the end. The Proverbs of Solomon: a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness to his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the righteous maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Blessings are upon the hand of the just, head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. The mouth of the righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life. The fruit of the wicked is sin. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproach erreth. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander, is a fool. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. It is as sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. The fear of the Lord, it shall come upon him. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, and the desire of the righteous shall be granted. As the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. As vinegar to the teeth, and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that sent him. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. Just a handful of verses there that talk about what we say, how we say it, and how much we say. And I just think it's really important to be reminded of the power and the weight our words carry, and just to be careful with them and how we use them. That's all I had. Thank you for listening. God bless you, and if you have comment you want to share or correction, you know, feel free.
A good reminder, brother. Thank you for that. Psalm 12, in verse 3, it says, the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. So when we see flattery and proud talk, we can be sure that is not of the Lord. Verse 4, he says, Who have said, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? We know how the world values freedom of speech. Say whatever you think, and so on. Yet, even of old, these wise men realized that there was a lot of power in the tongue, and that the Lord is desirous to be in control of the things we say. In James, there's a lot of writing that also informs us of the power that lies in the tongue, our words. James James 3, starting in 5. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. And those things aren't easy, training animals to do things and so on. It takes a lot of skill, repetition, and work to do that. So those things don't happen easy, but he says of the tongue, but of the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. And I guess how that always kind of came together in my mind is that only God can tame the tongue. Only God can, as we fear God, that is the thing that that tames our tongue and makes us careful. So I appreciate that. Thanks for the reminder.
Thank you, Brother Compa. I'm glad that you read from Proverbs, and I confess that it is not a book that I read much of in the Old Testament, and I read the scriptures all the time, but the reason I don't, because of the disconnects, it doesn't have a flow of certain things, but it is God's Word, and I appreciate your comments, Will, on it. I just, I don't think they're absolutes, but they are God's Word. I'll just give you two of them in the chapter that you read. That one of them, and correct me in this, I'm not making a big thing out of it. It's like Bessot didn't make a big thing on Easter bread, but here we go. Verse 10, he that winks his eye causes sorrow. Does that mean that Robert and Darren and we can never wink our eye at our children? Is this an absolute? Anyone who winks his eye is committing a sin? Or one other verse would be verse 30, the just shall never be moved. Oh yeah? What about Psalm 39 when David says that he said, in my prosperity I'll never be moved, and then he confesses his sins. Yeah, he was proud too in his prosperity, but he was moved. Lord, make me to know my end and how frail I am and everything. And so there are verses that would go against Proverbs. They're not absolutes. And I want to be corrected in this. Thank you, Compa, for reading it, but sometimes I can take it both ways. I mean, I don't think winking an eye is a sin. Maybe I need to Atlee, get on me for that. You get on me for a lot of things, Atlee. I need your correction. Do if I wink my eye, is that terrible and causing sorrow? Or can we ever say in our prosperity that, we can help others that need it. It's more blessed to give than receive. The Lord be magnified.
Yeah, I want to say thank you, Compa, for reading that too and the thoughts you shared. I think I might. I kind of wanted to respond to what Robert said. I think maybe somewhere in my notes I have a little bit, maybe a few more extra notes that would help me make my point. But I think you're right, Robert. But I think the thing that helps us, what you said about the Proverbs is right. But the thing that helps us read these things for what they're worth is if we understand I think there's parts of the scripture that like they're narrative. There's parts of the scripture that are poetry. There's parts of the scripture that are literature. And what I think about the Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and even the book of Job is that they're in a category that I think should be called the wisdom literature. And wisdom is wisdom. Wisdom is wisdom, but it doesn't mean that every proverb is always, though it's wise and it's a good bit of wisdom to think about, it's not always in every situation the wise thing to do. And this is really generalizing what I think about Proverbs. There, I'm sure there's exceptions to even this wisdom that I'm going to share, but I'm going to try to share, and that is that the book of Proverbs is kind of like this it's this wisdom that is generally speaking, like, life is predictable. If you do good, you'll see good results. If you do bad, you see bad results. If you work hard and are diligent, these are the results to expect. If you're lazy, this is the result to expect. You know, if you obey your parents, this is the result. You'll have long life. And those are bits of wisdom, but it's kind of like the author putting all these proverbs together, again, generally speaking, of kind of predictable wisdom. But then when you get into Ecclesiastes, which is another book of wisdom, you have all this like, well, but life doesn't always go that way. You know, someone might cheat a little bit and never get punished for it. And someone might be upright and do good things and calamity befalls him. Or all of life is just this upheaval and this vanity, and it's so unpredictable. And both of them have a good point to consider as you consider just these aspects of life. And then I think in the book of Job is another a whole bunch of wisdom that fits into this category of scripture that I would call the wisdom literature, where we actually have kind of like this. These two things played out, like something happened to Job, and according to Proverbs, it shouldn't have happened. According to Ecclesiastes, it did happen, and him and his friends are debating all this whys and hows, and in the end, you know, God doesn't even really show why it happened, but he just basically showed that life happens. And things happen that are outside of your realms, but there's things that remain, and that is that we should still be trusting in God. We should still be obeying what we know. We should still recognize that, like what Job did at the end, like, I must put my hand to my mouth and say no more. I've overstepped in trying to think that I know the answer to all these questions. Anyway, so I'm agreeing with you that Proverbs has those things, that those bits of wisdom that don't always hold true, and yet if we can read them as that, if we can read them as wisdom literature, that is just wise things to ponder and consider, and then recognize that life throws curveballs and things that we can't quite always put in there. At least that's how I mostly am blessed with reading those things. God bless.
I guess the point of Job was to, I said he was going to hold God accountable for the things that were taking place in his life, and when he gets to the end and God gives him an answer, it's, where were you when I created the foundations of the world? So even if we're reaping the whirlwind at the moment, need to tread lightly and still praise God.
I wanted to say thank you, Kompa, for reading that, and I thought I'd share one of my favorite proverbs about speaking, and I feel like it's something that you can see in groups of people, in any avenue, whether it's a church or politics or anything in life. It seems like this tends to be true. It's Proverbs 17:27-28. He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. Sometimes less is more. Sometimes the more we speak, the bigger hole we dig. And especially if we don't know an answer or we don't know something, people automatically assume you know something or that you're wise just by simply not speaking. I just think that's interesting. And then just to Robert's point and to Dwayne's point, I think there are even times when Solomon seems to paint two different pictures in his wisdom literature. And I can't think where the one is, but one that Kompa read this morning is, the rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. And it sure sounds to me like Solomon is saying there's security in wealth. And when you're poor, now again, I'm expounding on this a little bit the way that I see it, the way that I understand it. If you're poor and you're living poor, the slightest mishap can send you into a tailspin and ruin you. Like, for instance, today, like if somebody is barely making rent every month and they have a car that needed to be serviced 6 months ago and it hasn't, and it's riding around on belts on the tires, and then all of a sudden the water pump fails, that could ultimately lead to the person out on the street and homeless. And so I think Solomon is saying that there's security and wealth, and when you live poor, hand to mouth, it destroys you. And yet there are other places, I think it's Solomon, unless it's David, maybe somebody knows, where it talks about riches taking wings and flying away, and you can't put trust in riches. It's something that will disappear. For sure, David wrote things like that, I think, in Psalm 37, seeking for the person who was wealthy and rich, and they were like a bay tree, I think, and they're withered up and could not be found. And they're gone. And then, of course, if you contrast that to what Jesus was laying out in the New Testament, we're not supposed to take security in wealth. We're not supposed to have treasure on earth in that way, but be laying up a store for ourselves in eternity. And I do think this proverb is right. Like Dwayne was saying, there is like a little bit of wisdom in the sense that if somebody has a buffer, they're not going to be ruined by one small mishap. On the other hand, I think it was totally appropriate in the Old Testament to think that way and to operate that way and to store up wealth that way. It was a principle that Jesus put into a different light that just totally changes how we approach it today. Anyway, thank you, Compa.
Yeah, thank you, Compa, and all those thoughts from everybody. Dwayne, thank you for your thoughts. Brother Max, I guess I'll just piggyback some thoughts on what Max was saying. Yeah, it's interesting that even without reading Proverbs, just the experience in life, if you do end up having plenty of wealth and money, you can see that the volatilities of life, the ups and downs or whatever, that cushion keeps you from, calamity, ending up on the streets, whatever. But two principal messages, I guess, that weren't mentioned in the New Testament is Jesus is saying, come follow me, and then he shows us what it looks like to suffer and to trust in God. And then James kind of, I think, gives us insight when he says, didn't God, maybe I'd have to break it out I can only paraphrase it, unless somebody can do a better job than me. But he said, didn't God, what was the words? Choose the poor, be rich in faith and inherit salvation. That's right, that's right, that's what he said. And it goes together with, like Brother Max said, the teachings of Jesus on, not storing up wealth and by actually working righteousness, by actually helping those in need, imitating God in that way. And then, of course, when the calamities come, that we cry out to the Lord to help us, is kind of obviously what we see throughout the Bible. I'm not so much of the opinion that, despite the fact it seems like the law of Moses does make provision for allowing people to live in wealth, there's still a constant throughout, all his commands of urging them to help their brothers in need. And I just don't think that people really saw it so much. They leaned more towards things like, doing nothing on the Sabbath and all those works of the law rather than works of righteousness and stuff. So anyway, I guess that was the main thing I was going to say.
Oh, my God. Someday it shall.